Sorry to record this. Anyway, okay. So here's how they become a rabbi. At age 6, they should already know and memorize Leviticus. Then after that, they go to school called Bet Safar. That is from 6 years old to 12 years old. By that time, they should have memorized the Torah, which is the 5 first books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, right? So by age 12, they should have memorized the whole of the Torah. Then the teacher will give them an examination for them to be able to be accepted on the next level. What would be the examination when they already memorized the Torah? If they ask them to answer whatever part of the scripture, they could answer because it's already memorized. The Torah exam is not the mastery of the content, but on the questions they ask about the scripture, so that they could continue talking about God. Eh, alam mo na lahat eh. So ang question, ang the exam is no longer asking about the scripture, but on how you ask questions. Remember Jesus? He was 12, he was in the temple. And he was asking questions that are wowing the teachers. It is to ask the scripture so that the conversation about God will continue and they would see your ability to go to the next level. When you pass this level, you'll go to the next school, which is called Beth Talmud. For us, parang high school na siguro. But this is 5 stages. This discipleship, the school of Beth Talmud is actually called the school of the books, right? Between the age of 12 to 30. And this is divided into 5 stages. Now you would know why Jesus came out when he was 30. You would know where he was hiding. And when he came out of the school, he was called a rabbi. At this stage 5, everybody that, so in other words, during their Bet Safar, not all of them graduate. When they finish the Bet Talmud, not all of them finish either. Only the best of the best of the best of the best of the best finish. Right. So, at stage 5, they graduate and they're called rabbi. But, remember this, there are 2 kinds of rabbi. A rabbi without authority and a rabbi with authority. And Jesus graduated as a rabbi with authority. Actually, 99.9% does not get that title. So, okay. But once in a 2 or 3 generations, somebody comes along with authority. What is the difference? A rabbi without authority teaches the way he was taught. That the way of teaching in the Bible of how to live life, that the way of teaching on how to live life is called the yoke. Remember Jesus mentioned about yoke? Okay. So, a rabbi with authority has his own yoke too, as how he was taught, but he has authority, what he has to bound or to lose. Do you follow? Okay. Rabbi without authority will teach you the way he was taught by his rabbi, which is passed on to you and to the next generations. But the rabbi with authority can make his own yoke. Now sometimes, okay, the word for a rabbi with authority is called Samika. Now, so you've learned three Hebrew languages, Betzafar, Bet Talmud, and Sameka, as a rabbi with authority. Here's how they determine if a rabbi has authority or no authority. When they graduate, they are baptized. Now you know why Jesus was baptized by John. Why you know why beforehand John said, "He who is coming, I'm not even worth tying up the laces of his shoes." Because the rabbi that's coming out is a rabbi with authority. And when he saw him, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." You know what's next. And to be baptized, you have to, and to qualify for that baptism, you have to have two witnesses. The first witness is John. "Behold." And there's no other. But here comes a voice. "Behold my son, who I am well pleased." So there are two witnesses. So, and remember, let's go to Matthew 7, 9. When Matthew said, when John said, when the disciples said, "You do not teach as the other teach, but you teach with authority." Now you know why it was said? Because he's a rabbi with authority.
Matthew
7, 9. So what we're actually revealing now is how 7-9. Which of you in the other yun? Matthew 7-9. Sanyon, you do not teach as the other teach, but you teach with authority. I'm not perfect.
8 and 9.
I'm not perfect. I make mistakes.
It's okay.
Okay, nine.
Matthew 8:9. Let's try.
Yeah. It's what John that was saying, "For I myself is under authority." Oh no, this is from but never mind, you will find that. "You do not teach with as the others teach, but you teach with authority." Matthew 8, 9.
"Yeah, for I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go and
go." Okay, let's move on. But you know, you'll find that you read the Bible, don't you?
Yeah.
Jesus, as a rabbi with authority, is teaching something new, something fresh. And this is what we're wanting to let you know. Let's try Matthew 11:29. Siguro I'm sleepy. Sabi ko I prepared for 1 week and hearing pala. You know when Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So what is the yoke? It is on how to live your life. So he said, "Take my yoke." Remember, the yoke of other rabbis is only how they were taught, and that is solely from the Torah, especially Leviticus. Because Leviticus is the law. That is when Moses said, "Do not, do not, do not." But with Jesus, do, do, do. Why is it also that on his first sermon, which is the Sermon on the Mount, his first sermon was attended by so many that he has to go to a mountain? Am I allowed to have a drink?
Yes.
Okay. Why? Because people know that he is a rabbi with authority. Isn't that great? People are waiting for new things, fresh things. So he climbed in the mountain to have some more space. They're wanting to hear the word from a rabbi with samika, with authority, where his yoke is easy. Then what's next? The next thing that the rabbi will do is to get his disciples. The disciple that they could teach and mentor. And this is to do their job, to transfer whatever they've learned. If you're a teacher, you graduate as a teacher, do you work on the call center? No, you teach as a sister, a teacher, so you pass on what you've learned. So what we've learned in the church, we pass it on too. Okay. So, Matthew 4:18 said, Peter, Andrew, Simon, come, follow me, and they follow. Why? Because every boy, every man on there wants to be a rabbi, but because they can't. Like, you want to be an All Blacks, but you can't. Every boy wants to be a member of the All Blacks, but only the best of the best of the best become an All Black. Sometimes one out of 1,000. And this is one rabbi with authority. Who are these people in the bank? They are fishing, therefore they are fishermen. By the way, there are fisherwomen nowadays. And as though us, because they, you know why they follow right away? Because they were supposed to be a rabbi that were disqualified. Mostly the rabbi that finished being a rabbi go to the Bet Talmid and collect their disciple from there. But no, Jesus went to the bank of the River of Galilee to qualify the disqualified. The fisherman, the tax collector, like, it's just like, why the tax collector? Well, forgiving these people. He's showing that he's forgiving the people that's been robbing people. And that is the yoke of our rabbi, qualifying the disqualified. Another thing that the rabbi do is to teach his disciple how to walk. This is amazing. How would you know you are a disciple of a certain rabbi if you walk differently? They teach them how to walk, and they literally had a walking training. Do they, you know? And the best of among them is the leader of the line. You can always tell who's disciples of a rabbi the way they talk. The line leader is the best disciple. And you know that they wear special sandals? That is, for them, as they walk, they are filled with the dust of the rabbi. Why? Why dust? Why do they want to be filled with the dust of the rabbi? Because this dust of the rabbi, it's not the dust that you want to wash off, but the dust that you want to show off. It is an honor to have this dust. Tayo, maalikabukan lang ng konti, eligo agad. This is the dust of the rabbi. Remember, Jesus said, here's one you can apply in your life. Jesus said, when you go to a house and you're not accepted, shake off the dust in your feet. Pero didn't he said, love your enemy? So what is the dust? Even a person does not accept you, bless him anyway. Because the dust is a blessing. So no matter how, because the dust is a blessing, that's why they follow, that's why they want to have dust, because that dust came from the rabbi with authority. And it will change your life. So even if you shake, you know what we thought before, what I thought before? If you shake it, because, bakala ka dyan, dumi lang sa'yo. I will leave you the dust. Clean your house. No. That is a dust which Jesus is wanting. Even if they don't accept you, bless them anyway. And that's the yoke of our rabbi. Right. So, how will the world know if we don't follow the yoke of our rabbi? You know, we also have yoke. Yoke from we got from our parents, from our grandparents. Like other churches do. Like if you were able to live with your great-great-grandmother who goes to church and would not want you to cut your hair because you have, women has to have long hair and all of the above, that is their yoke which you carry. Diba? Namana natin. So, and there's another thing. You know this woman that was caught in adultery? You know this story, right? This is another showcase of the authority of the yoke of our rabbi. Why did the people took the woman to Jesus? Because he's a rabbi with authority. So Jesus did. what did Jesus say? Okay, because Leviticus says, stone a woman that is caught in adultery, go, stone her. In other words, he's not defying the law. He's, yeah, go stone her. But his yoke said, if you do not have sin, if you're perfect, stone her. And the people got tired of holding their stones, just left. Because there's no one perfect, right? There's no one without sin. They realize that. They got tired of holding the stones and they all left. And Jesus asked the woman, lady, where are your accusers? They are not here, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Because during those days you have two witnesses when you are accusing someone. But because there are so many accusers, Jesus just kicked them out. So therefore it became a mistrial. So what did he say? Jesus cannot make her sin go away because he was caught. So the accusation is a mistrial. And then she said, lady, neither do I condemn you, and go sin no more. That is the yoke of our rabbi. The fulfillment of the scripture with a new and fresh start from the yoke of a rabbi with authority. That is why, therefore, there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. You know what it said? Why is there no condemnation? Because the yoke of the rabbi does not condemn. All your witnesses, these people that condemn you, they're not perfect. So they are not witnesses. So everything that you have done wrong is a mistrial. That's why Jesus said, do not condemn. Nor do I condemn you. So, we could be right in one verse. But if we not fulfill the scriptures, it's nothing. We could be say, oh, he fulfilled the scripture by letting her stoned. But how did he fulfill it? We, as we go along in our lives, we make mistakes. People condemn us. Remember, there's no condemnation. Because it is always mistrial. Whatever other people say on you, that is different as what comes to God. You are loved. You are not condemned. Therefore, you should not condemn. When he said, with all your sin, I condemn no more. Because some people give life sentences to us, isn't it? The moment, let's say, you did something, they try to put it onto your shoulder as if that is your title. No, there is no condemnation to Jesus. Okay. Oh, another sample of Jesus' yoke. Remember Zacchaeus? This small guy that climbed the tree and then, what did he say? Salvation come to your house, to this house. That is the yoke of our rabbi. Remember also that the only way to be saved during that first century is a temple. The only way to salvation is a temple ritual. You know, they washed her with the water in the jar. You have heard the sermon I did before about the water turned into wine. There is no more temple ritual. Jesus qualifies the disqualified. And the yoke of our rabbi was publicly on display on the cross. When the accusers keep on beating him, and Jesus keep on forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. That is the yoke of our rabbi, loving and forgiving. And when Jesus came from the dead 3 days later, what did the first thing he did? Is cook breakfast for the disciple that deny him. Cook breakfast for the disciples that was not there in his trying times. Is there someone in your life that you wanted to cook breakfast for? Forgiving, loving, that is the yoke of our rabbi that we should apply in our lives. We should not condemn. We should not judge. I remember before, I was new here. I was not here in Oakland. I was attending a church, a very, very good church that was a very, very big church and a very good pastor. Unfortunately, was tested in her relationship with the secretary, and it was exposed. You know what the church did? The leaders, the eldership, took him in front one Sunday and exposed his sin and asked him to ask forgiveness, and he was there bowing like a convicted murderer. That is not the yoke of our rabbi. That is not the yoke of our rabbi. We treat people as we want them to treat us too. We do not embarrass people in public. We do not gossip people in public because we ourselves are condemned people because we ourselves are not perfect. All we have to do is love and forgive. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for allowing us to know more about our rabbi and his yoke. That Father, showing for us to live like more him, oh God. Father God, reveal to us that we would see things differently, oh Lord. That we will be more Christ-like and follow his yoke. Reveal to us, O Lord, if there is a yoke, is my yoke that I brought to others that should not be there. Let us have Jesus sample us to be our gauge on life. Father, thank you for this church. Thank you for the NP2C. That we are wanting to be a place for a fresh start. Let Jesus write his life story. Let Jesus write our life story rather than writing our own. Father, we believe in you. We believe in Jesus. We believe in his divinity and his humanity. Thank you, Lord, that you have awakened us. That's every people in this church right now, Father God. And your blessings be all upon them, O God. That we would live a godly life that is perfect in your sight, O Lord. We praise you. We glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.